Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. As we say in English, translated, it's peace be unto you, or the peace be to you. We appreciate you joining us today. This is our Jumu'ah Salat, or Jumu'ah prayer service in Los Angeles, California. We're in the Watts District of Los Angeles. And we appreciate all of you joining us, and we thank Allah for you. We want to go ahead and get started with our talk today, opening with a greeting. And we say, Alhamdulillah. And at first we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. That means I seek refuge with Allah against Satan, the rejected enemy. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Alhamdulillah, ahmaduhu wa astainahu. Praise be to Allah. We seek His aid and His guidance. Wa astahdihi wa astaghfiruhu. We seek His guidance and we seek His mercy. We seek His forgiveness. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness there is nothing and no one worthy of worship except Allah, the one and only. Wahdahu, the one and only. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And we also should have said la sharika lahu. La sharika lahu, that He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. And when we say Muhammad, we're talking about the one to whom the Holy Quran was revealed. And then we say Amabad, which means that anything that comes after the greeting that we already gave, we of good, we include that. We always include all good. And we thank Allah for a way of life that is marked by all good. It is known by all good. It is saturated with all good, and it is natural, given to us to be natural for us. It is given to us by the Creator. We call His name Allah. He's the Creator of everything that exists, and He has no likenesses, no partners. He has nothing you can compare. Nothing you can compare. Nothing with Allah. He is the one and only, the originator of the heavens and the earth. We appreciate Allah for guiding us and giving us a way of life that is just full of all of the guidance that we need to live a correct life, a sensible life, a healthy life, a life that is to be lived or can be lived as it was intended for us to live by our Creator. We are so grateful to have such existence, brothers and sisters. We are so grateful to have such existence when we see that the life of this world, this plane of existence, we see that it can be full of a lot of trouble. Scripture speaks about life being full of trouble and full of misery and pain and suffering. And yes, we're going to experience some of that. Some of us more than others, but we all are going to taste that. And just like we enjoy the life, we're also going to have a death, which we say we don't enjoy. We don't want it to end, but it has to end. And once we really come to a good measure of understanding, once we get a good measure of understanding, we understand that just like we enjoy life or chase after life, there must be a rest period, and that rest period is called death. And I know we don't like it, but it's going to happen, and it must happen. And on top of that, it is original. It is natural. Death is a natural part of our existence. So we thank Allah for the life. We thank Allah for the health, the guidance, the strength, the ability to move through this existence. And we thank Allah that He has made a system for us which we call Al-Islam. He's made a system for us. Some people call it religion. Some people call it just a way of life. We're thankful that he has made a way for us, or a system for us, where we can make our way, see our way, where we can do things to make it enjoyable. And all we have to do is watch out for the things that cause us too many obstacles, the things that obstruct our ease. We chase after the ease, but as I mentioned, we're going to also have some struggle. We're going to have some pain. We're going to have obstacles in our way. But Allah has given us a guidance. He's given us information. He's given us knowledge on how to live our lives so that we can optimize the successes and minimize the pains, or minimize the obstacles. We look ahead, we see, you know, with open eyes, not just the outer eyes, but we want to see mostly with the inner eyes. Some of the smartest people you know can't see physically. Some of the wisest people that have ever lived couldn't see physically, but they had faith. They had the illumination, the inner light of faith, a belief that things can work, that they still can achieve, that they can be successful in life, and that they can give help and even guidance to others. They couldn't see physically, but they still could access their thinking. They could access their inner vision and their inner light. And we know the greatest light is the light of truth, right? The light of truth, the light of understanding, the light of reason, the light of logic, the rational light. We know that there are things inside of us that if we don't, even if we don't have physical vision, we still are very, very important in the life of this world to ourselves and others. And Allah gave us this light. Allah gives us this light. I want to go a little slower because I don't want to really miss anything that's really important for us to think about. I want to access some things that you mostly already know. But the reason, one of the reasons for our meeting on this Jumu'ah, on this Friday, the day of assembly, is so that we can remind each other of what Allah says. And Allah has given us this book called the Holy Quran, and one of the names of the book is the reminder. That which, once you know it, you can't just go along assuming that you're going to be able to access it or live it every single day. You have to be reminded of what is important. You have to be reminded of where the freedoms are, the help is, the clean and open path. You have to be reminded of where that is, and you have to be reminded about the obstacles or the tricks or the traps along the way. So we thank Allah for this meeting that we call Jumu'ah, this gathering, this congregational meeting, where we come together and we read the Holy Quran, we read what's in there, and we are reminded something about the life of this world. We can't know it all, can't live it all, but gradually, it says in the Quran that it has been revealed to Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. It was revealed to him gradually, and it unfolds to us gradually. I know if you're like myself, you've experienced dozens of Quran readings during each year that have passed, each year that has passed. And you've been on 10 Ramadans, 20 Ramadans, 30 Ramadans, you know. And you, in one of the Ramadans, you say, I read 20 times. I don't even remember seeing this verse. Or I don't remember this part of this verse. Because Allah is gradually unfolding for you the knowledge, the understanding, the memory even, so that you will have more and more appreciation and more use of information, of knowledge, of truth, more and more ability and skill in handling yourself in life. You have to have some serious skills to negotiate this life, to handle yourself in this life. I'm telling you, you do, and you already know. But brothers and sisters, let us be grateful to Allah for giving us this way of life that is just so full of health, so full of help, so full of ability, so strong in potency, in substance, potent substance, so strong and alive, so bright and illuminating, so healing and good for you, wholesome, that's a good word, wholesome. I like to use a lot of words because, you know, I was saying, I think it was last Juma or Juma before, in my lecture, all praise to Allah, that when you look in the dictionary, you're so happy that when you look up a word, it gives you maybe 3 meanings, 5 meanings, 10 meanings, and associate words or words that are exactly the same meaning or near, so near to it, but it wasn't the word, only one or two of those words may do for what you're talking about. Well, our life in this way of life, Al-Islam, is so full of ideas and thoughts that are exactly what we want to think, and those which are like alternate and subordinate or associate words that help us get right to where we're looking each and every time. We might change the subject a little bit and then be able to identify a word that's most fitting for that conversation. This way of life, Al-Islam, is just, Allah says in the Holy Quran, He has not left out anything, big or small. And another description of the Quran is that it is enough. Another description of the words in the revelation that Allah gives us, and we call it revelation because it's revealed. It's something we didn't know before. It's something that's new for us. It's something that will show us what is important, what Allah wants us to know. Another thing that's said about the Quran is it is a book that is explained in detail, not leaving out anything. It gives you exactly what you want and enough of the things that you want to satisfy anything that's in your mind. It is a book that is where everything is explained in detail. All praise to Allah. We're thankful for Allah giving us such a book. And it is a book called The Clear Book. It is a book that explains everything, and it explains it clearly. Mubin, one of the things that's said about the Quran is it is Kitab-ul-Mubin, that it is a book that explains everything in detail, and it explains it clearly. Another thing that's said about the Quran is, it says, that it is a book that is enough. It is not only enough, it's really more than enough, brothers and sisters, because we have quite a small mind in spite of the fact that we think we have a gigantic mind or a big mind or we're super smart or we're the smart S. You got some people walking this earth who say that they know more than Allah, that say that that they are rich and Allah is poor. And I want to remind you that Allah cursed them for being that way or having that attitude. No, Allah is the greatest. Allah is Al-Kabir. He is the greatest. Allah is the one who knows everything. Al-Alim knows everything. Allah is the one who is the inheritor and owner of everything. Al-Waris, the inheritor of everything. After everything is gone, it'll all, at the end of time, everything will come back to Allah because He is the supreme inheritor. He just lets you borrow things and use things for a time. We are temporary creatures, brothers and sisters. We are temporary. We come into the life of this world, and we stay here for a while. We live our life, we struggle, we get through life, we enjoy. Allah says He gives you enjoyments. This world is nothing but a life of enjoyment, sport, play, goods, children, all kinds of things. But we are a temporary creature, whereas Allah is not even a creature. He is not created by any. That's a mystery that our minds can't even really get ready for. We can't imagine it. And that's one of the things that's said about Allah, is that He is unimaginable, Al-Azim, that you cannot measure Him or truly, fully comprehend Allah. But we ourselves, we are temporary creatures. And we live for a time, and then we'll die. And we'll be judged, because we're not just here biding time or floating along. We actually, each and every day, are a creature that is living out a scene, living out a story, living out a way. And each and every day we're doing deeds. And those deeds are being looked at. They're being counted. They're being judged. They're being weighed. I hope you understand what I'm saying to you, that you are accountable for your conduct. We are all accountable for our conduct. And we are admonished or warned in the Holy Quran by Allah and the great messenger that He sent to us, Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, the one that the Quran was revealed to, and other scripture. There were other messengers who had scripture. I'll go into that, inshallah. But I want to stick to the main point, which is that we are being judged, and we're being judged by the Quran and by the light of what Allah has revealed in the Quran. And incidentally, I want to say right here, right quick, that you yourself are a carrier of this light. You are a carrier of the Quran. You are a carrier of the knowledge that's in the Quran. That's why Allah gives you so many blessings, because He wants this Quran to be carried. He wants this Quran to be spread out, to be taught, to be shown to the people. So even if you might think that you're not good enough, sometimes I feel, I say, man, I feel so unworthy to be having so many big blessings of this way of life and being able to carry out these obligations and responsibilities on me. Sometimes I feel like just so unworthy, you know. It's almost like, why me? But we know that we shouldn't be too shocked if we feel that way, because they were messengers who the obligation was so heavy on them, they tried to run away, like one called Jonah, right? But he couldn't get away. Allah wanted him to carry the message that Allah wanted to reach that certain people. And Allah wants this Quran. He told Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, that you have to carry this message to the whole world, to everybody, without prejudice. You have to carry this message, take this message, and make it reach everybody. That's why he's known as a universal prophet, the universal prophet. And he's also known as the last messenger, or last prophet who will receive revelation. So that means that he's also a messenger who has, he's not only universal, but he is final. He is final. He's the last messenger. He's the last prophet, the last messenger who is going to receive divine revelation. And that makes him the carrier of the completed message. And his message was so thorough, and his mission was so thorough and complete and so fulfilled, that there's no need for anyone else to come after him. That's why he's known as the greatest of the messengers. He's called Khairul Mursaleen, that he is the best of all of the messengers that were ever sent, from Adam all the way to himself, because that's just how complete the Holy Quran is. It's so complete, and it has so much of everything that we need, that there's no need for another messenger to come after Muhammad. So he's, peace be upon him, and peace be upon Jonah too, and all of the messengers. And we have to believe in all of them. And we have to respect all of what they were about. And Allah says in the Holy Quran, He sends you their stories, their truths. He sends you what actually happened. This is history, their history. He sends you their history so you can learn from what they went through. Isn't that beautiful? So we know how to handle it when your relatives won't act right. We learned, saw that in Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, right? We saw that in Ibrahim, alayhi salam, or peace be upon him. We saw that in many of the messengers, how they were, abused, disrespected. Saw that in Jesus. And he said, a prophet is not even respected in his own hometown. He said, not even in his own house. That's what he said. So he was, you know, he had family. I think Joseph was one of his brothers, and James had a brother named James, and you know. So anyway, but the point I'm making is that what Allah sent to us in the different messengers is the history of what they went through. What they went through. Some of them were chased. Some of them were just cursed and hated by their people. Some of them had to migrate and leave their area just to feel that or realize or enjoy the life that Allah had made for them to live, and had not only made for them but made for everyone to live, but they were not believed by the people that they were sent to. But Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, he had the most successful mission out of all of the prophets. He had the most successful mission out of all of the messengers. The Holy Quran is a book where it needs no book to come after it. It needs no book to come after it. It is a book that is fully explained. It is a book that is explained in detail. It is a book that is the light. Allah says of the Holy Quran that it is light upon light. It's like a lamp that's lit with oil, and even the oil itself is like a light before you even touch it with the flame, which is a light. The glass itself that it's encased in is so bright and luminous, I think is the word, so bright. The Quran is the light. Brothers and sisters, when we take on this light, we become carriers of it. And Allah does not want anything to happen to us. What Allah wants us to do is continue to obey Him, and He will continue to save us, protect us, provide for us. That's the word I was actually looking for. If we obey Allah by carrying this Quran, He will continue to provide for us. He'll provide us with protection. He'll provide us with what we need for the Allah says, and this is a quote, for the fulfillment of life. Allah says of the believers, He gives us everything we need for the fulfillment of our lives. Yes. Everything. It doesn't matter. Allah owns everything. And He says in the Holy Quran, He can give whatever He wills to whomsoever He pleases. It can be material, or it can be of the higher things, the psychological things, the mental things, the moral things, the emotional things, the spiritual things. I hear a lot of people talking about spirituality. Do they really think they have spirituality? No, they only know what the world has told them is spirituality. And the world, this society, especially in this society, what they give people to think with and think about and think on is actually darkness. You go to the courts and think that they're giving you great lights and great knowledge. You go to the politicians and you think they're giving you great guidance and great help. Look how the politicians lately, the governors, who are over tens of millions of people, have signed for them to use drugs. Somebody might say, oh, he's just talking about marijuana. Marijuana's not a drug. I beg your pardon. Marijuana is a terrible drug, and it should only be administered by a physician, a doctor who says, I'm only giving you this because it will help this ailment that you have. Now, I'm not talking about you having a bad day and you go get some marijuana. No. But the governors have said it's okay for you to use it, even recreationally. You know how you go out with a basketball or a tennis racket and you say, I'm going to get some recreation. I'm going to have some fun. I'm going to exercise. Your governor is giving you drugs to exercise with, to have fun with, to play with, and you apply that to your noble brain until your noble brain is not noble anymore. And your brain carries ideas. The ideas of the mind are inside the brain. And if you misuse your life long enough, the noble ideas, the high ideas, the great ideas, the wonderful thoughts, urges, sensitivities, sensibilities that you have will begin to dwindle. They will be affected. They will be disturbed. They will be brought down. Your great rational things, your wonderful things will begin to be replaced with rottenness and ruin. Allah gives us this Holy Quran, brothers and sisters, and we ask Allah to protect us from societies that no longer value the human life. Protect us from societies that no longer value the human life, and we have to stand over our life like a great parent using this Holy Quran. We have to take this Holy Quran, the word of Allah, and use it and protect it and hold on to it and embrace it more than we embrace our father, our mother. You know, that's what's said about Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him. And you got to love him more than you love your parents, more than you love your father, your mother. That's how much you got to love him. Why? Because he's the carrier of Allah's word that is the protecting idea, the protecting truth, the protecting substance that will save your life, heal your life. Do you know one of the names of the Quran is the healing? The healing, shifaun, I think is the way to say it in Arabic. That it is a shifaun, it is a rahmatun, it is a mercy to you too. That if you make, when you make the salatul tasbih sincerely, that Allah forgives your smallest sin, your biggest sin, your oldest sin, your newest sin, one you did accidentally, even the one you did on purpose, the one you did in public, the one you did in private, the one you know you did, you know you did, and the one you don't know you did. Allah has given us, look at that protection. Look at that protection. Allah doesn't wait on our mind to become conscious or aware of what he's doing for us or what he's doing at any time, at any place, all the time. There's not a time or place where Allah is absent. That's not one of his attributes. That is not one of the attributes of Allah, that he's absent. Now, he's hidden. Yeah. He's the unseen. That's one of his attributes. But he is never absent at any time or place, brothers and sisters. Allah is always in control of everything, every particle. We have another prayer that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, informed us about. And that is the prayer or the dua that talks about Allah needing, Allah needs nothing. Allah appreciates and accepts your worship, but he doesn't need you. We need Allah. Get that through our heads. But the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that you should worship Allah by everything that he has made. He said you should worship him by everything that he has made, every particle in matter. You know, you've got the liquid, the gas, and the solid. And you've also got what they call the plasma. Yeah, they say that the plasma is something that's brought out in creation only at certain times, like when lightning strikes. It's not a liquid, it's not a gas, and it's not a solid. But it's something really kind of spooky. But it's there, it's real. And there's other qualities and types of existence that we know very, very, very little about. Even the thing we hear about, know about, like the jinn, we don't really understand the mystery of the makeup, of our makeup. Everybody has jinn. So don't try to say, oh, well, that don't include me. Yes, it does. Everyone has jinn and everyone has humanity in some amount, in some amount. Yeah, you got the human spirit and you got the jinn spirit. The jinn is more, I believe, spirit, but Allah's the best knower. This is a religion that is so mysterious and spiritual. People think they got spirit. No, we got spirituality. More, way more than we ever need or ever be able to figure out. In fact, Allah says through the prophet, peace be upon him, that there, and it's in the Quran, that there are some things that cannot be explained to us or will not be explained to us. It said that some people, because they couldn't get their questions answered, they just gave up their faith. Mm-hmm. So I can't get my question answered, and forget about it. Okay, go ahead and be an animal then. Go ahead and be a lower beast then, if that's what you want to do. You don't have to be allowed into the spiritual things or into the garden of bliss, the garden of happiness, the garden of joy. Allah is doing you a favor if he lets you into the garden and lets you dwell there and lets you find happiness and peace in your life. He's doing you a big favor. He did you a big favor by just creating you. All praise to Allah. All praise to Allah. So, brothers and sisters, there's these different forms of matter. And Allah made the earth, and he made man out of the earth. And the Quran says that jinns were created before. Some of these things can be explained, and we'll talk about them sometime. But other things, we won't even worry ourselves about it. We'll just accept to live this life and live this way of life, this religion called Al-Islam, this way of life called Al-Islam. We'll accept to live it as Allah has blessed us to be able to live it to the best of our ability. And that's what Allah tells us to do, is do the good deeds. Do the good deeds. Do the good deeds and be rewarded for the good deeds. When you make a mistake, ask Allah to forgive you. Ask Allah to forgive you. Allah says through Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, that when you make a sin, when you do a sin, he says, don't be allow yourself to become so depressed and despondent about it, I think is the right word. Despondent, yeah. He says, because he's got forgiveness bigger than that, greater than that. He says, he told Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to tell us that if, and when I say he told, I mean he revealed, because we know Allah only spoke directly to one person, and that was the Prophet Musa Alayhi Salaam. Musa didn't see Allah, but he heard Allah and actually spoke with Allah. And his attribute called Kalimatullah or Kalimullah, Kalimullah means one who spoke with Allah. That's Musa. Kalimatullah is actually Jesus. Kalimatullah means Kalimat is the word of Allah. Kalimatullah, Jesus is called Allah's word. Musa is called Kalimullah, one who spoke with Allah. But anyway, I would say when I say that Allah showed him or spoke to him or revealed to him, that's what I'm talking about, is that Allah, through the revelation, gave Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam certain things about us. But he said that if your sins were as big as the earth, that he's got forgiveness bigger than that, greater than that. You know how big the earth is? You have no true idea. In your mind, you have an idea of what you call an idea. No. You don't even know what's happening on the other side of town or the other side of your neighborhood or even around the corner of your building. But Allah says if you had sin that was as big as inside your house, outside your house, around the corner, biggest sin as big as you cause problems all over your city, and there are people like that. If you got sin as big as your territory, your state, or your country, if you had sin, this is Allah speaking to the prophet through revelation, that if you had sin as big as the earth, he's got forgiveness greater than that. Isn't that mercy? Allah says that he has inscribed for himself the rule of mercy. That's a verse in the Holy Quran. He is so merciful that he has made it a law on his own self. He's made it a rule, an obligation on his own self to be merciful to us, brothers and sisters. Shouldn't we be grateful? Shouldn't we be thankful? And then Allah says, if you are grateful, if you are thankful, that he will give you even more out of his bounty. He'll give you even more. And Allah said in the Quran, he doesn't run out of bounty. He says he gives you all that you ask for. He gives you all that you ask for. And some people might say, well, I asked for this and I didn't get it. Well, maybe you didn't ask in the right way. Obviously, you didn't. Yes, there's ways
of what we call in the Quran, or what we call this way of life, ways of approach to Allah, ways to ascend to Allah. Are you one of those people who get up in the middle of the night and ask Allah for what you want? When Allah says if you get up in that last third of the night that and ask him for something, he's going to give it to you? Are you one of those people who truly believe in Allah with sincere belief in your heart? Do you yearn to be near to Allah? Do you yearn to be nearer to Allah than anybody else in your whole life? Your father, your mother, your children, your wealth, or whatever. Allah says you got to put those things aside because he's greater to you than anything or anyone. And some people say, well, I reach Allah through Prophet Muhammad. I reach Allah through Jesus. I reach Allah through Moses. That is still not correct. You have to worship Allah alone with no partners, joining no partners with him. So your prophet, your father, your mother, your wealth, your homes, your jobs, your businesses, your territory, your sons, your farms, your land, none of those things are allowed to be closer to you than Allah. When you call on Allah, you call on Allah sincerely. Have you been sincere to Allah? Do you really treat Allah the way he should be treated when he is greater than the president or greater than your senator or greater than your teachers, greater than your professors that you love from college or whatever? So maybe your prayers are not getting answered because you ain't really giving nothing. You've given trinkets and trifling things, offering that. You know, Adam, peace be upon him, had two sons. And you read it in the Quran many times, where the sacrifice of one son was acceptable to Allah, whereas the sacrifice of the other son was unacceptable. So given what we just got through talking about, you think about that. And then you kind of weigh yourself or assess yourself and your behavior. You know, an assessor is someone who, you know, you give him some gold, he can tell you the value of something. Or you're given a house, he can tell you that, you know, your house has been assessed at such and such a value. We need to assess the quality of our worship. We need to assess the sincerity of our faith, of our willingness to be faithful. We need to assess the quality of how we move and are we really giving our all to Allah? Are we actually giving him the service, the worship and the service that is due to him? Then ask yourself, then my prayers maybe will get answered or won't get answered. After your assessment, after you weigh yourself a little bit, then ask yourself, have you really been treating Allah like he is the one who owns everything and has promised to give you if you be sincere? Have you been sincere enough? Or have you run to sins, like Allah said in the Quran, have you run to sins like you should be running to goodness? See, some people run to sin and run to the life of this world like they should be running to forgiveness, running to Allah, running for help to Allah. And Allah warns us about how this society has turned us around. And, you know, we say in the streets, this society has turned you out. You got turned out by this society. And I'm telling you, that's no small matter. And it's something that can easily happen because there are people, as we speak, that are plotting. There are people who obey the devil as we speak, are plotting to twist your mind, to turn you out, to turn your life upside down, inside out, to dump darkness on you that they're telling you is okay to be lived. They're dumping darkness on you. They're dumping lies and superstitions and ancestral worship and worship of mythology and superstition and mystery and nonsense and giving you huge questions and all kinds of burdens, like Allah said in the Quran, that they want you to live burden, to give you a burden life to live. Talks about it not just in the Quran, but it's all through the Bible about how people would heap unfair things on people because they had an advantage over them. The advantage of studying you and have studied information and knowledge so that they can be more prepared than you to live life, or more able, more powerful at managing their life, or managing their thinking, or managing. You know, they actually sit there, and Allah says in the Holy Quran that they actually are sitting up plotting by night. Yeah, says it right in the Quran. They are plotting by night. They're sitting up while you're sleeping. They're sitting up thinking of how to get you and how to get your things, how to get your soul. Because they know if they can get your mind, they can get your soul, they can get your morals, they can get your thinking, then they got everything. Everything that you have follows with what you're trying to live that you call life. And Allah said in the Quran, there were people who were souls that were up, there were souls that were upset about them having to go to the fire. And they say, no, they told the big devils, no, you're the ones who plotted against us by day and night with your schemes. You were plotting on us and plotting and lying and setting us up day and night. And that's why we're in this fire. We hope Allah will give you a double penalty in this fire. As another verse, Allah says to them, double for all. Because you don't have to follow them. Why don't we have to follow these people who have the ability, and they're united? Big, big minds. Judges, lawyers, politicians, social scientists, psychologists, sociologists, physicists, chemists, all of them together. All of them together. The people who have the wizardry of high medical science and also the psychology, the psychiatrists and the anthropologists. Yeah, the philosophers. Ooh, they out to get you, brothers and sisters. What does Allah say? And why don't we? Why should we be punished if we keep following them in false religion? And the priests and the rabbis, they're the worst ones, the doctors of laws. Whose laws? Their laws. Why do we have to be punished if we follow them? Because Allah has given us a way out. And the way out for us is His divine word in Scripture. Too bad for the Bible, the NGO and the Psalms and the Old Testament, because they got contaminated. They got invaded by those evil ones. They got invaded by these big head evil thinkers. And the Bible describes them in one verse, I thank Allah for that verse being still there. It says they are the ones who have the mark of the beast. Satan is the beast. They have the mark of the beast in their head, in their forehead. They say his number is 666, right? You heard about the 666. People get spooky and their hair stand up on the back of their neck, you know. But it's nothing spooky. It just means that you're, that in your morals and in your mentality and in your spirit, you're supposed to be complete. But if that circle of completion, the three circles, if those circles of completion in your morals and in your spirituality and in your mind, your mentality, are damaged or broken, if it's broken, it becomes a figure that begins to look like a six, right? I suppose that if it gets bent all the way down, then it does look like a six, doesn't it? So instead of completion, 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 or halo, 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 it becomes 666. So the evil ones, because of their refusal to obey Allah, they have the mark of the beast. Their halos were turned into incomplete circles, bent, broken and bent, until they become a figure that we call sick, six. But we could call it sick, sick, couldn't we? That they have the six. They're sick in their mind, they're sick in their morals, they're sick in their spirit. All we got to do is think a little bit. Allah will send you this Quranic thinking so that you will logically and rationally see things that they put here. Some good people put it there, and then some bad people put it there. Some good people were able to keep in the Bible that if your halo, your cycle or circle of completion that's supposed to be over your thinking, the halo's not on the foot or the knee, the halo's above the head, right? It's right around the head. If that halo gets damaged, then you're not going to have the same spirituality you had before. You're not going to have the same idea or feeling of completed knowledge. You know how it is to feel fulfilled in your spirit. sister on the line just had a new baby. May Allah bless the new believer, have mercy upon them, guide them all the days of their life. Bless them with that which is best. You know how it feels to have that feeling of completion, that feeling of satisfaction, that feeling of just that quality life, satisfaction, fulfillment, happiness. What we like to say, joy. In your mind or in your spirit, joy. In your thinking, to know that your morals are healthy, that you're really a good person. That's beautiful. And we have to keep up prayer because the society attacks that and it can have us, we can feel really, really up and then get attacked by Satan and feel like we've fallen down. So Allah has given us a beautiful system whereby we can maintenance our daily life, our psychological existence. Isn't that beautiful? Maintenance it so that our spirituality really can't get formed into a six. We can keep it, we can weld it back, so to speak, into that halo. We can allow a blessing to come back whole. And during the time of Prophet Isa, alayhi salam, that word whole was used a lot, that you have to be whole. And you, this religion, the way of life, my teachings will make you whole. The preachers talk about it a lot, but a lot of them don't really understand what it means. And as I mentioned before, too many people, almost everybody in the society, is at the mercy of the shaitans who are constantly attacking you because they have been branded. Because of their disbelief, though, because of their disobedience, because of their hostility to mankind, because of their willingness to do crimes against humanity and to sin against the Creator, because of their wickedness, they have been branded in their thinking forever to be an incompleted being. And they are mad as hell, so to speak. And what Shaitan said? My Lord, because you have thrown me out of the way, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to attack them. I'm going to attack them from this way, that way, and I'm going to attack them on your straight way. So I'm going to go to the health and the decency, the honor, the good thinking, the good sense, everything that you've given them to build them up, I'm going to attack that way. That's what Shaitan said. So those who follow him, those who follow the beast, they're branded forever with his attitude, same attitude. And they are constantly hoops for you to jump through all day long, all night long. But Allah has given us this Holy Quran that saves us. Allah has given us our prayer. Allah has given us the willingness to be close to him and the cry to be forgiven. Oh, Allah, forgive me. And Allah says he'll. When a believer asks him for forgiveness, he'll give it to you. And when a believer calls on him, he told Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's right in the Quran. He said, tell them that I am near. I am near and I hear them. Oh, praise to Allah. Isn't that beautiful? Allah says he's near to you and he hears your call of everyone who calls on him sincerely. Yes. So brothers and sisters, don't ever be those who feel that Allah's mercy cannot reach you. Don't ever feel that Allah's mercy cannot reach you when he has actually made his mercy as a rule on himself to give to you. He has actually made his mercy a rule on himself. He says if you call on him, he will answer you. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, said if you will walk to Allah, he will run to you. That's how willing he is to help you and to save you and to resurrect you from a dead or injured person. Mm-hmm. Allah will help you and he will bring you all the way back to life if you would just call on him before you die or give yourself to those with that beastly mentality. Those who don't want to obey Allah and they're willing to follow those who have that beastly mentality, they get marked too. And they call it those who have the mark in their hands, the incompletion or the unholiness in their abilities, in their deeds, in their industries. So you got people that's out there that's right now planting drugs, digging up drugs, cultivating drugs, packaging drugs, smuggling drugs, distributing drugs throughout the country, throughout the land, across the border, whatever, to kill you with and to damage your brain so that you can't hear. If you know if your brain or your mind is damaged, your hearing, your ears don't work exactly the same way. Your eyes are not functioning like they should function anymore. Your feelings, your sense of touch is out. You know, the skin is the biggest organ of the body. And the big thing about the skin is that it has the sense called the sense of touch. But it suggests also, since the skin is on top, and it suggests that it's covering something that's all the way deep inside. It's suggesting that not only do you have the touch feeling, but you also have feelings inside. And do you know that your very heart, the very substance that your heart is made out of, those first cells, before it even starts to beat, that your whole body is made out of that? Your whole body, look in the mirror. Your whole body is made out of what your father and mother put together and that rested in her womb for 9 months and then came out as another person. We should be grateful to Allah. So they after your sense of touch, they after your sense of smell. Satan doesn't want you to smell like Allah wants you to smell. So when he invades you or attacks you with his products and his substances and his false reality, your sense of smell is off too. Your sense of taste is way off because you start making choices. You know, the tongue is not just an organ for tasting something, but it's also an organ for judgment of what you're putting into your body. I don't want this. What do you put in here? Satan wants to take you completely over, brothers and sisters. And so they make all kind of products. They're out there making all kind of products for you to put in yourself and consume in yourself and thereby become their slave. They want to take over all your organs. Take over all your systems. There's devils working like that. Am I saying that? Or did it just come with Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him? Even their one they say is their favorite, Jesus, 2,000 years ago. That was 600 years before Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him. 2,000 years ago, Jesus, peace be upon him, said that the people that he was sent to try to straighten up, they were highly organized in evil, so wicked that he called them children of the devil. He called them vipers, serpents, hypocrites. He said they were cursed, put a curse on them. And you know, the curses of the messengers last to the day of judgment. They can't shake it off. But Allah, in his infinite mercy, kept his promise and gave him one last chance through Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon them. How do we know that's true? Because from among the children of Israel, one of them came to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and he said, I accept that there's no God except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad, you Muhammad, are his servant and his messenger. And the Prophet saw him, and he saw it was one named Abdullah. And the Prophet said, have you told your people, the Jews, this? Have you told the Jews this? And he said, no. And he said, the Prophet told him, just hold on a minute, watch this. And he asked one of the Jews that was passing by, he said, what do you think of Abdullah and his family? Oh, he's so great. Oh, he's so wonderful. Oh, he's so, you know, because the Jew is going to vouch for him because he was another Jew. That's how they do. And and the Prophet said, well, what if I, when I say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that means prayers be upon him. Prayers to Allah be upon him and peace. That's what we're saying about Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. And every time we mention his name, we should send prayers on him. And it says that when you send prayers on the messenger of Allah, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that prayers come back on you for your well-being. Yes. So he said, what if I told you that Abdullah was a Muslim? And he said, you would just immediately start saying, oh, he's the worst of the worst, and his father's no good, his mama's no good. I mean, he just went off. So that shows you the aversion or the hatred that they have against following Almighty God. They keep that mark of the beast. They keep following that mental following of the beast and keeping his laws and rules, you know, so much so that they actually are an institution among themselves, a secret underground syndicate, a secret underground mafia themselves. And they are worldwide. That's why many of them, in addition to being having a great continuous existence and history, they also have a lot of learning. And in addition to wanting to be underground and sneaky on people, they have a long time of access to knowledge, unbroken access to knowledge. And the more of that you have, then the more opportunity you have to be smarter than everybody else if you use that time and study. So they use that time and they study. They're an institution. They have books and scrolls and, well, books, you know, a computer and all that. They have that, and they interact with and use their ideas and pass their ideas throughout the world as a common, or I should say a unified organ or organism or institution for the doing of wrong, for bringing mankind, as many as possible, under their sway or under the sway of the devil, their father. The father just means leader. This means that when Jesus said that the Jews were the children of the devil, the children of Israel were the children of the devil, he just meant that they were those who had given themselves over to the leadership and the beck and call, the calls, and the will of the devil. That's all it means. And so they so much are they an international institution that they actually use their knowledge and their time that they spent to learn the various languages and kept them, learn the various languages of the world. So you go into an Israeli family, and they might know 10 languages fluently, not just the common, you know, language like we're trying to just make it through the language. They know the idioms and everything, the old sayings and the sayings that nobody would know unless you actually were a member of that society. That's how well they can learn your language. And so they know 5 and 10 and 15 languages. And if you Google it, you're going to see there are people in the world who know 15 and 20 and 30 languages and 50 languages. So they can go all over the world. And what do they do when they go to these different lands? What do? They begin to subjugate or undermine the people and bring as many people as possible under the sway of the devil, to get the people to work mischief in the land and evil in the land and sin and crime instead of good. So them with the mark of the beast in their head and them with that wickedness in their deeds or in their hands, in their actions, they start going to work on good people and creating all kind of crimes against humanity. So you go to their society and you see them in there growing cocaine, coca leaves, growing the substances that create heroin, growing the stuff that and boiling up the stuff and cooking up the stuff for all kinds of meth. And they smuggle that into your land and into your neighborhood and into your environment, so much so that you'd probably be surprised at how many dope deals you drive by when you're riding up and down the neighborhood. You'd be surprised at how many people got dope on them when you get on the bus or on the airplane, whatever. Mm-hmm. They're organized against you. They're organized against you. I'm not giving a Holy Quran or a Juma about evil. I'm giving a Juma about good and how good is more powerful than evil. But there's so much evil all around us that we have to mention it so that you'll be wise to what's happening around you and see the reason why you should be trying to escape from Shaitan and do battle against Shaitan and conquer Shaitan. Don't you know the devil can be conquered? The devil can be conquered. I'm a witness. You're looking at me right now through this phone, or if you're here. You're looking at witnesses who will are witnessing to you that Allah's word can be lived, that Allah's word will deliver you from evil, that Allah's word will grant you victory. One of the attributes of Allah is Al-Fatah, the one who will be victorious over all opposition. And it also has to do with opening the way, opening the way. Don't you ever feel like your life needs a better way out, that you need a way out of the corruption, a way out of all of these obstacles, the way out, a way out of the pressure? People are always saying, oh, I'm so stressed. I've just got to do something about this stress. So they go smoke cigarettes, smoke drugs, drink liquor. And they're delivering themselves right into the hands of the beast who got the mark in his hand, the helper of the devil. Yeah, the alcohol industry, the tobacco industry, the drugs, the guns, the crazy language of filth and hatred, all that, and much, much more, the wearing of the clothes, the indecent clothes. Why do I want to look at your family, and the cleavage is all the way down to her navel, or at least to her chest, showing her breast. She's at work. She might be making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year, and got to show her behind. And you would think at that amount of money that more decency and the willingness to look more conservative would be the order of the office or the company. No, because that those who have control of the media, the devils who tell the other devils what they want to see in the media. If you go in their media with goodness, they say, we don't need that. But you go in there acting a fool and cussing and acting crazy, talking about you'll shoot people and talk about the build, and you build up the criminals and the mafia and the gangsters and all that stuff. Oh, yeah, we need you. We like your song. We're going to put you on the air. We're going to make you a superstar. See how they attack us? See how they attack us? But they cannot destroy us if we will stay in our right minds and realize what is really natural and original. Your original five senses are to be clean. You're to be able to see well, hear well, taste, touch, smell, and all that cleanliness, that purity is supposed to be in your heart and in your mind. If it's deep in your heart, it will do the natural thing that the heart was designed to do, which is to redesign your whole being, your whole personal being. You might not be able to touch anybody else with your heart, but you are responsible for what's in your own heart. And if your own heart is good enough, it will begin to redesign your whole being into that goodness. Isn't that beautiful? Allah made that. Allah made it like that. That's its pattern. That's its natural order. That's its nature. And you see that halo just grow above that person and grow above that person. Yeah. That completion, that peace of what? Mind. That peace will be there because of the goodness of the heart. So Allah tells us to study this Quran, learn what He wants for us. And he says of what's in the Quran, it is all in your best interest. He had the prophet live it to such an extent, to live what's in the Quran to such an extent that they called him the Quran walking. When you saw him, you would see the revelation of Allah being lived in every movement, in every way, all day in his life. And he was an example for you of how you can do it. An example to you, to all of us, of how you can do it. So we take the Quran to the whole world. And you got some people that jump up in front of you and say, don't do that Quran to that kafir. So wait a minute, you're talking like a kafir, because if you read the Quran, you'll see that it is to be given to everyone. And it says in the Quran, the only requirement is that the person want to be clean. And they will not be able to touch it unless their hands are clean. Now, we're talking about their physical hands. Your husband's a believer, and he goes to work, and you get cement on him, and you say, don't make no more prayer. You are a Kafir now because you got dirt all over you. No, it's not talking about that. It's talking about all you have to do is clean up your deeds. You won't be able to touch it unless you have the good-hearted, minded actions in your life. Then the Quran, you'll get more and more and more and more and more. Mm-hmm. That's what it's talking about. But at the same time, you know we want to be clean. But is being clean that critically important to Allah? He says you only have to take a bath once a week. Did you know that? Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it is incumbent upon the believer to take a bath every week before Jummah. That's the only place where it says it's incumbent upon you. Now, we have to wash before every prayer, but we only have to take a bath under certain circumstances. But we are to wash before every prayer, our hands, our faces, our feet, if we have water. If you don't have water, Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of the peace be upon him, that because of the Prophet's goodness and because of Prophet because of his goodness and because of Allah's mercy, he has made the whole earth a place of cleanliness and prayer for Muhammad and his followers. So the whole earth is a place of cleanliness and a place of prayer for all of us believers. So much so that if we don't find water, we can pick up the clean, cleanest part of the dirt, which is everywhere. It's only dirty if something got wasted on it, because the whole earth is clean for us. We can pick up clean earth or sand and wipe our faces and hands and be prepared for prayer. That's sufficient to be prepared for prayer. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. Allah got for us everything we need, everything. So all we have to do is be grateful. You should walk around like you're a superhero, you know, almost sticking your chest out, but don't do it. Because you might get proud. Allah says, don't want pride. But he says that if you have even the faith of a mustard seed, you'll get into paradise. But you should be so pleased with Allah that people can tell that you're pleased with Allah by your face and your stature and your attitude and your talk and your deeds. People should look at you and see that your heart is in the right place, brothers and sisters. This way of life saves you. It saves you so profoundly, so completely, that the stuff they talk about in this society is nothing but trash. It's garbage. The stuff they tell us to live in this society is nothing but garbage. If you judge it with the light or the knowledge of what Allah has in this Quran, if you judge it by that light, you'll see how much garbage is being thrown at us every day. If you went to the devil and asked, what are you making? I'm making garbage to throw on people. I'm making trash. I'm making foolishness for them to live. I'm making lies for them to live. Lies. Yeah, that's what I mean when I say garbage and trash. Am I just saying that? Because I know I'm a pretty good talker.